Now, last week, we talked about the need for gracious speech. This morning, I talk about the will and the words of God. The will and the words of God. Let's begin by reading together verse number 10, Colossians 4:10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Apparently, Aristarchus was a fellow prisoner. Maybe he was a prisoner in Rome with Paul. And Marcus probably was visiting him. He was sister's son. He was a relative of Barnabas. And touching whom he received commandments, if he come to you, receive him. That word receive means just to take him to your heart and accept him. Take him to yourself and admit him, receive him, give access. And not just some people don't receive each other. And they should receive him in the best way. The book of one of the portions there of scripture, we see Mark was from Pamphylia, and the convention was so sharp that they departed together, asunder one from another. There was a battle between Paul and Barnabas. Mark left because he didn't want to be on that missionary journey, and so Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren of the grace of God. So Mark was a quitter at first. Later on he got back with the Lord, but he was a quitter and didn't want to go. He went back to Mama. Back to his mother's house, and not with Paul. So Paul and Silas went. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul writes, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So praise God, Mark got back into fellowship with the Lord, as all of us should do if we get out of fellowship, that we may be profitable for the ministry. And Philemon, verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. He's a fellow laborer, so we're glad for his renewal and fellowship back with the Lord so that he could be profitable to Paul and to the ministry. Let's read verse number 11 together. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been comfort unto me. So apparently Justice, maybe he visited him, and he was along with Aristarchus and the other one, Mark. They were helpers to Paul. Probably they visited him in the prison. And they were fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Paul needed comfort, and all of us at times need comfort. That word for comfort is an interesting one. It's paregaria. We get the word paregoric from that. A little baby's in pain. It's comfort. The pain is relieved. And that the comfort that was needed, and Paul received it by these fellow workers. And other verses on comfort in Job 16:2, Job says, I have many such things. I've heard many such things. He says to these three that were trying to comfort him, miserable comforters are you all. They didn't do a good job of comforting these three that came over to comfort Job. In Psalm 23:4, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God can comfort us. In Psalm 94:19, in thy multitude of my thoughts, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. God's comforts can delight our souls as well. In Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction. What is it? For thy word hath quickened me, made me alive. In Romans 15:4, we know that. Well, let's say that. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Comfort of the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Five times comfort is mentioned. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we are comforted ourselves of God. A tremendous need for comforting others. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6. God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. People can comfort other people, and we praise God for that ability. Let's read verse number 12 together. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, this is somewhat of a dry section of scripture, but I found four tremendous, gigantic verses and subjects in these verses. The first one is this, that talking about the prayers to stand, first of all, standing, perfect and complete in the will of God. That standing means to stay put and don't move, to keep firm, to continue safe and sound, and to be perfect. That means, plerao, means to be full grown and mature and adult in the will of God. Complete, plerao, that means to make full or filled to the brim, complete. Now what is it to be filled and full in the will of God? Very important to have that. There are some verses on the will of God, and for instance, there's prayer for specific things. My heart's prayer to God for Israel in Romans 10:1, that they may be saved. Philippians 1:19, he prays, this is, shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Paul believed in prayer, and so fervently in prayer, Epaphras was serving the Lord, Jesus Christ. But then, standing perfect and complete in all the will of God. Many verses on the will of God. We'd like to look at Mark 3:35. Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister. I said, here's the woman, here's your sisters and brothers, half-sisters and your mother, doing the will of God, brother and sister and mother. And Romans 12:2, we know that one, let's say that one. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God should be what we want in a Christian life. In 1 Corinthians 1, and verse 1, Paul is called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. He didn't name himself as an apostle. The will of God called him specifically by the will of God. 2 Corinthians 8, and verse 5, this they did not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us, Paul says, by the will of God. They gave and helped Paul. Galatians 1, and verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, the Lord Jesus speaking of here, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. God's will is to deliver us from this wicked world. Amen. All around us. In Ephesians 6 and verse 6, not with eye service, as men pleasers, these servants, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Not just the head, just outwardly, but from the heart. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, setting you apart, that you should abstain from fornication. That's the will of God. Saying that to Christians, because some of the Christians in Thessalonica were committing this wicked sin. And some Christians in churches and all around the world today are doing the same. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Giving thanks is God's will, not just on Thanksgiving. Hebrews 10:36, we have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. God doesn't always give the promise quick. We have to wait, be patient. In 1 Peter 2, verse 15, so is the will of God, that with well-doing, he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. With good will of God, well-doing, that's God's will for believers. In 1 Peter 3:17, it is better if the will of God be for us, be so, that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil-doing. If that's the will of God, make sure it's well-doing you suffer for, not evil. In 1 Peter 4:2, but he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, those that are saved, but to the will of God. That's our purpose once we're born again and saved, to God's will. In 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. As a faithful creator, sometimes God does bring suffering. In the will of God, brings suffering to us. But if you suffer, commit our souls to the faithful creator. In 1 John 2:17, we know that one, let's say that one. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Tremendous foreverness, the will of God. Important, indeed, that we seek his will in his words, and that we do his will once we found it. Let's read verse number 13 together. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Here's a man who is a zealous person, and this is the man that he's talking about there, Epaphras. He was among them that are Laodicea as well as in Hierapolis. Laodicea and Hierapolis are very close to Colossae. Colossae is close Here is Colossae right here, it's Hierapolis here, and it's Laodicea. See, it's right close by a little cluster, Colossae, Hierapolis, Laodicea. And this man had a great zeal and wanted to help these people that are close by him in that area. As far as zeal, if it's in the right way, it's important. That means to be on fire, to give ourselves, to be zealous for good things. In Romans 10:2, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. There must be knowledge along with the zeal. Now, zeal without knowledge is horrible. Zeal without knowledge is horrible, but zeal with knowledge, proper zeal and being on fire for the things of the Lord are very proper. In Philippians 3:16, Paul said concerning zeal, before he was saved, persecuting the church. And that was the wrong kind of zeal. But he was zealous for the wrong thing, as many people today who are unsaved, zealous for the wrong thing. Even some Christians, zealous for false doctrine, false things of the scriptures are not being taught well. Let's read verse number 14 as well. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now Luke, the beloved physician, Colossians 4:14, right here. He's the beloved physician. He was well loved. Paul knew him, and I'm sure he helped Paul on the missionary journey. Paul is mentioned, Luke is mentioned rather. Now there's a need for a physician. In Luke 5:30, their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, the Lord Jesus' disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? The Lord Jesus came to eat with them so they could lead them to Christ. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered said to them, they are whole, need not a physician, but they that are sick. These sinners were sick and needed a physician, as all sinners of the day. Then he said, I came not to call the righteous, those that think they're righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's why he came. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, only Luke is with me. At that point, Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable for the ministry. We mentioned that earlier. But later on, Demas came back to the Lord. In Philemon 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborer. So Luke was a fellow laborer. He was a physician as well. And then Demas in Philemon 24, fellow laborers there. But in 2 Timothy 4:10, poor Demas didn't have it so good. He left the fellowship of the Lord. Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world and has departed unto Thessalonica. So, just like Mark, he was with Paul, and he was against Paul, he's back with Paul. So Demas, he was with Paul, and he was against Paul. I don't know whether they've got it right for the Lord. I trust he did. I hope he did. We've got to be careful, if we're out of fellowship with the Lord, that we may get back into fellowship without any problems, any questions before the Lord. Let's read verse number 15 together. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Memphis, and the church which is in his house. This is the second thing in this chapter. I said there are at least three or four things that stand out to me, even in this chapter that seems to be not too much there. But this one here intrigues me, because it talks about those in Laodicea and Memphis, and the church which is in his house. Our church is in our house. This is a biblical position, a scriptural position. Nothing wrong with the church in thy house. In fact, four different times it's mentioned, this time and other places in Romans 16:15. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house. In 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia salute Aquila and Priscilla, salute you in the Lord, and the church that is in their house. Twice is mentioned the church in their house, Priscilla and Aquila. Colossians 4:15. Here we have it right here. Salute the brethren of Laodicea and Memphis and the church which is in his house. A fourth mention. In Philemon verse 2, our beloved Apphia and Archippus, their fellow soldier, and the church in thy house. That's Philemon. We have that in our bulletins, the church in thy house. So there's four references to the church in the house, but there are another eight references to the people meeting in houses, like we're meeting right now in our house. In the first one is in Acts 2:46. They continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They broke bread and met in homes, not big buildings. In the second scripture, in Acts 5:42, daily in the temple and in every house. they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And the third example in Acts 8, verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. Why did he enter every house? Because they were meeting. Christians were meeting houses, like we're meeting today. And hailing men and women, committed into prison. A fourth example, in Acts 9, 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the next verse, and the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one that is called Saul of Tarsus, where he prayeth. He was praying in the house of Judas, a house prayer meeting. And the fifth example, in Acts 12, in verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. House prayer meetings in the New Testament, that's a scriptural position. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 40, a sixth reference, they, that is Paul and Silas, went out of the prison, entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. The brethren in the house of Lydia were there meeting as believers. A seventh example, in Acts 20, verse 19, Paul said, I've been serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Teaching house to house, Paul was doing it. The eighth verse, the last verse, in 1 Corinthians 16:15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, they that have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There in the house of Stephanas, they were meeting and addicting themselves and following the ministry of the other saints of the Lord. Let's read verse number 16 together. And when this epistle is read among you, cease because it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and likewise read the epistles from Laodicea. As we said before, you have Colossae, you have Laodicea, you have Hierapolis, all right here in a little place just a few miles away. And so when Paul wrote to the one, they said, read it. The third thing that it stands out to me in this section is we've got to read the scriptures, read the Bible. We encourage people to read from Genesis to Revelation. We're in the book of Luke, now back to the book of John now, in our Bible reading, and it's a blessed thing. But Christians, the need for reading the Bible, this stands out to me in Deuteronomy 17:18, for example. It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, every single king, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, and before the priest, and shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. That's why these kings went sour. They didn't copy, first of all, a copy of themselves of the word of God. Then they didn't read all the days of their life. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and the statutes to do them. Not only reading, but doing and keeping. These kings should have done it. In Joshua 8:34. And afterward, Joshua said he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. He read them. We've got to read God's words. Nehemiah 8 and verse 8. They came back from captivity 70 years, and they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. That's what we try to do, is give the sense and caused them to understand the reading. In Nehemiah 8:18, again, they came back from 70 years of captivity. Day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Nehemiah was faithful reading day by day. These people came back from heathenism in Babylon, 70 years of captivity. They needed to know the word of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. In Nehemiah 9 and verse 3, they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God. 1/4 part of the day. Well, if the day of daylight is 12 hours, a fourth is what? 3 hours. 3 hours. Now, some of the churches in different parts of this world have long services. Some of them last 1, 2, or 3 hours. And they just sit there, stand there, whatever it is, and they read 1/4 part of the day. In Isaiah 34:16, the command to those listening to Isaiah, seek ye out the book of the Lord, that's first, and read. Read. No one of these words shall fail, none shall want their mate. For thy mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit hath gathered them to read after we see. That's why we stand for our King James Bible, so we'll know what the words of God are, properly translated from the proper Hebrew, proper Aramaic, and proper Greek. And then in Matthew 19:4, the Lord Jesus, he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which hath made this from the beginning hath been male and female? Have you not read? He accused the Pharisees of not reading. They didn't know that there was a distinction, male and female, for this cause. In Matthew 21:16, again, he said unto them, hearest thou not these things, what they say? Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings they have perfected praise. These young children were praising the Lord, and the Pharisees tried to shut them up. He said, have you not read? They didn't read the Bible. We must read the Bible. Know what it says and follow it. In Matthew 21:42, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures? These were the ones that followed it. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. He was telling them to read about the rejecting of the Savior at the cross of Calvary, dying for the sins of the world. Have you never read? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, Philip was having an evangelistic meeting, and the Lord called him to go to one man out there in the desert from Ethiopia, Candace's servant. And he obeyed. One man. He had a big crowd, I suppose, in his evangelistic meeting. And Philip ran thither to him, this man on this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. This man in the chariot, Kadesh's servant, was reading Isaiah. And said, Philip said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? And of course he didn't, so he made it clear that he was reading the word of God. And Philip led him to Christ and then baptized him by immersion, because of his faithful belief. And then Romans 15:4. We've said that before. Let's say it again. Romans 15:4. We know that. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Written for our learning. In 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts. He's talking about the Christians at Corinth. Known and read of all men. Not only should we read God's words, but people read us. We're read, known, and read of all men. How are they reading us? Are they reading clear? Are they reading solidly Christian reading? Or are they reading things that are wrong, things that are twisted, things that are not? We've got to be careful. Written in our hearts, known and read of all men. 1 Thessalonians 5:27. I charge you by the Lord, this is the Thessalonian Christians, that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Charge it to be read. We've got to read the words of God. Not only, that's where we find the will of God. Someone has said very wisely, full knowledge of his will is found in full knowledge of his words. Mm-hmm. You can't know his will without his words.
Right.
To know his will, to read his words. Let's read verse number 17 together. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. This is the fourth section that I thought was a great blessing, and I spent a little time on it. But he said, Archippus, take heed, that every one of us, to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord. There's everyone who's saved and born again has a ministry received of the Lord. What is your ministry? Ask the Lord about it. Have you received the ministry from the Lord? I believe every one of us, some ministry. Not all preachers, not all missionaries or evangelists, but some ministry received of the Lord. Which, now notice the last part, that thou fulfill it. Not only receive it, but fulfill it, plero. It means to make it full. And to furnish make it full to the brim, for the top. Fulfill earnestly the ministry that God has given to you. The word for take heed, for example, in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Talks about those that are saved and the foundation of Christ. Another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. On the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have been saved, born again genuinely, you're on a foundation. Take heed how you build. Make sure it's gold, silver, and precious stone, not hay, wood, and stubble. Take heed how you build. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, a very important verse. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Every one of us is but one step from a fall. As you walk down this aisle, or walk anywhere down the sidewalks or in the street or wherever you may be, you're just one step from a fall. If that foot doesn't come out, you fall. And that's a very important verse. Let him that thinketh he standeth. Sometimes those of us who think we're so good and so fine and so wonderful are the very ones that are going to be falling first. Mm-hmm. We've got to remember, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, Paul said to Pastor Timothy there at the church at Ephesus, take heed to thyself, first of all. Be careful that your life is clean and pure and holy. And unto the doctrine. Make sure your doctrine, your teaching is pure and holy. Thyself and the doctrine. The self, if it's pure, but the doctrine is impure, that won't last. If your doctrine is pure and yourself is unholy, that won't last. Pure self, pure doctrine, holy unto the Lord. Take heed to the ministry. In Acts 6 and verse 4, they had a meeting in Jerusalem, and they elected six men to be helpers or deacons, what you will. And the apostle said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They had a ministry of the word, serving the Lord and ministering the scriptures. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul said, none of these things move me. Paul was warned, don't you dare go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. They're going to take you to Rome. They're going to make you a prisoner. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And he went to Rome and he testified the gospel of the grace of God and led many to Christ at Rome. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, all things are of God who reconciled us unto himself, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry telling others they've got to be reconciled to God. They have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Ministry of reconciliation. Ephesians 4, verse 12. When the Lord Jesus ascended up in heaven, he gave gifts unto men. And some of the gifts are mentioned. But for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the work of the ministry is a very important task that every one of us must take. What is your gift for the ministry? We don't know. But God has given you, I'm sure, some gift. Maybe people don't see it. Maybe you don't even know it. Ask the Lord what it is. In 1 Corinthians, or 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul said, now that he's saved, to Pastor Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. And God must enable us if we're going to do anything for him. He enabled me, for he counted me faithful. He counted me faithful. Paul was faithful persecuting the church. He's going to be faithful if he's serving the Lord. Putting me into the ministry. God put Paul into the ministry. And God has given you a ministry, I'm sure, some ministry. As he put you in there, be faithful in there. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. But watch thou in all things, told Pastor Timothy. Endure afflictions. They're coming. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Fill it to the full and make full proof. Don't waste your time. And then to fulfill it, to fulfill the ministry. Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's where the Lord Jesus promised not a jot or a tittle will be taken from the law until all be fulfilled. All hasn't been fulfilled, and the smallest jot, the yod, a little like a comma, or the tittle, the smallest, a dot, an accent mark, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled, completed. In Acts 20, verse 24, we've read that before, but it's similar. I've made the same statement. None of these things move me. Neither count of my life dear unto myself. And nobody's going to kill me, but they're going to kill Paul. That I may finish my course with joy and the ministry, Paul said, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Mm. Paul went to Jerusalem. He was arrested. He pled to Caesar. I appealed to Caesar. He went to Caesar. He was in prison. Wrote 4 prison letters the first time, 2 prison letters the next time. And it was will of the Lord. And he wanted the will of the Lord to be followed. In Colossians 1:25, for unto I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. To fulfill the word of God. And then in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11, wherefore we also pray for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling to the church of Thessalonica and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. To fulfill his good pleasure. God wants to fulfill all of his good pleasure upon us. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul said at the end of his life, the last letter, 2 Timothy was his last letter that he wrote, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I trust that that will be the case in my situation, to fight a good fight, clean, proper, not give in to the devil or the false teachings around the world, a good fight, to finish my course. None of us know when our course is going to be finished, the ministry that God has given to you, when your ministry is going to be finished. Your life could be snuffed out today or tomorrow or next month or next year. None of us have an assurance of any day. Give us this day our daily bread, all these things. We must live daily for the Lord. I've finished, Paul says, my course. He knew that he was going to be taken home to be with Christ. He knew that death was imminent. He wrote to Pastor Timothy, I've finished my course. Good fight, finished my course. Then I have kept the faith, guarded it, fulfilled it, and kept it. Kept the faith. That's what Mom Sanborn's chorus is we sing every Sunday. Faithful to the fight, faithful to the finish, faithful to the what is it?
Faithful to the word of God.
Word of God. The fight, the finish, the faith. Faith, and the finish. Okay, those three. All right. Faithful to those things. That's what God wants us to do. He needs us to do to render fullness. There's a poem that Mom Sanborn wrote a while back, taken from Luke 9:57, on the subject of doing the will of God. It's called Whithersoever. Whithersoever I heard him call, and so I replied, I give my all. Reflect on your answer, he spoke at the start, for he knew the breach twixt my words and my heart. So he led, and I followed. Through each waiting day, till my heart and my words had but one voice to say, whithersoever. That's doing the will of God. Whithersoever thou dost want me to do, and whatsoever thou dost want me to do it. We must be faithful to the words of the living God. Then let's read verse number 18 together. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Right, now, remember his bonds. He was in prison when he wrote the book of Colossians. He was there because he was a faithful minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember his bonds. We feel that we are remembering those that are in prison by the giving of the Defiant King James Bible to those prisoners that request it. And we pray that God would bless that Bible to their hearts. We don't give it if they don't request it. We're just giving it here. But those that say, I want it. Some say, I'm saved. I need the Bible. I don't have one. Would you send it to me? Some say, not saved, but you're having a Bible study. I need a Bible. Because they're using your Defiant King James Bible. Can you send it to me? 16 or 17 different states have now requested our Bible. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew is what possessed me and what got me to have a ministry to these prisoners. Remember, he said, what have you done unto you? The people said, why, we haven't done anything to you. Yes, you have. Those that are released of these, my brethren, and one of them sick, you visited me. In prison, you sent unto me. Wow, and as much as you've done unto me, the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. What I'm saying is, The Lord is interested in prisoners, because he's mentioned in prison, he visits me. He visits them in prison. It's a wonderful thing. Paul says, please remember my bonds. Remember I'm in prison. In Acts 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, kept back nothing was profitable unto you, but has showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide. He knew what he was getting into. He still went because he felt it was the will of God to go get those bonds. But none of these things moved me. We said before, I don't count my life dear to myself that I may finish my course with joy. And he did finish his course. And the ministry that I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. In Ephesians 6, verse 19, praying that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, even in prison. He asked, please pray for me, that in prison I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, still in prison in Ephesus, in Ephesians when he wrote the letter, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then Colossians 4, verse 3, we already read that, praying that God would open a door of utterance. Earlier, last week, we talked about speaking the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Open a door to speak Christ in that prison. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, remember, Lord Jesus, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. He was in the second Roman imprisonment when he wrote 2 Timothy. He said, suffers an evil under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So he was a prisoner because of his preaching Christ, even the second Roman imprisonment. You'd think after he got in the first Roman imprisonment, he'd quit preaching. Stay out of prison, not Paul. Paul was commissioned to preach the word, no matter by life or by death. And so he was faithful. May we be faithful in whatever ministry God has given to us, to be faithful unto death. In Philemon, verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He led him to Christ as a prisoner in Rome. All these things Paul was happy for, even in bonds. These four things that struck me from this section in verse 12, that we should stand perfect and complete all the will of God, knowing the will of God and doing it. The second thing that struck me in verse 15, the church which is in thy house, let nobody chastise you for coming and meeting in a church in a house and say to you, oh, you got to go to a building, got to go to a big building, to our church. This is wrong. This is unscriptural. That's what they say. Many times they're chastising people meeting in a house. But I love that section in verse 15. All these different, 12 different sections were teaching that it meets in a house. And the third thing I love was the reading of the Word of God in verse number 16. Paul says, when I write this to you, don't leave it by itself. Copy it off and send it so that people in Laodicea and the other places, Hierapolis, can read this letter. We've got to read the words of God and follow what we read. That's the third thing that struck me. Then the fourth thing, that thou hast take heed to the ministry. There in verse 17, that thou received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The ministry that God has given to any of us, all of us, we've got to take heed to fulfill. Sometimes in our ministry, we get off track. We forget. Wait a minute. What did God say, want me to do in His work for Him? And we got to be back on track and fulfill the ministry until death. That's one of the things that Lori Agee wrote about in the letter that's in your bulletin. She was amazed that old duffers, I call them, like me and my wife in our 80s and Cass in her 80s and Dick Carroll in his 90s, would be faithful to the Lord. She said, I've seen many people in other churches and so on, and they don't follow the Lord. They say, oh, in fact, one person told her right out, when you're old, you just sort of get away from these things. That was the excuse. When you're old, no, you don't stop no matter what your age. Whether you're young or old, you keep at it. You fulfill the ministry that God has given to you. That's important. So all these things are important in this last part of Colossians. Lord willing, next Lord's Day, we're going to get into the book of 1 Timothy. and preach that the first half of 1 Timothy. Hope you'll join us, pray for us as we continue. Let's open with a word of prayer as we close, rather, as a word of prayer as we close this service this afternoon. We thank thee, our Father. Thou art a great God, a God of mercy, a God of love, one who has sent thy Son to be our Savior, who died that cruel cross, on the cruel cross of Calvary, an ignominious death, and who was deserted by friends, hated by enemies. Help us to fulfill our ministry. Help us to read thy words. Help us to be faithful to the will of thine, that we do it. And help us, Lord, as we meet in our home, in our house, as we, through Dan's help, have these cameras that push out our meetings all to the ends of the earth, so that 70 different countries each month can download our services. Lord, keep this internet free and open. Thank thee for the 50, every one of the 50 states downloading our messages every single month that is given to us. So continue to bless our ministry in this house and not be ashamed, as thou hast told us in thy word. Help us and use us. If any are listening to us, either in our church here or listening by other means, that are unsaved and lost, may they genuinely come to our Savior and be saved. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.